I want to read two passages of Scripture today for the sermon text. One is from Numbers chapter 6 and the other from Luke 24. Lord willing, next Sunday we will return to the sermon series on the book of Genesis next Sunday morning. But today I want to look at these two passages of Scripture for a particular reason. They are connected to our study of Genesis and to Leviticus, as we are going to see God helping us. Numbers chapter 6, I want to read verses 22 through 27, and then we'll look at Luke 24, and I'll read just two verses there, verses 50 and 51. And before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our dear God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest who intercedes for us without ceasing in the heavenly sanctuary, and through whom we boldly come before your throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need. Father, we pray now for your Spirit to bring illumination to our minds and to open our hearts, that we may have a right understanding of your word and be doers of your word, believing all that Scripture teaches and obeying all that it commands. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and beginning in verse 50. "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven." This is the word of God. Now, the very, very last words that our Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples before returning to his Father in heaven were a benediction. Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them, and as he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven, Luke 24, verse 51. And in Acts chapter 1, Luke notes that Jesus was carried into heaven by the Holy Spirit. He was carried to the heavenly sanctuary by the glory cloud. Now, this morning, I want to explain the significance of Jesus pronouncing a benediction on the disciples while he ascended into heaven. That tells us something very important about the present heavenly ministry of Jesus Christ. It tells us that Jesus is the high priest who mediates the blessings of the new covenant as he serves in the heavenly temple. Jesus, our high priest, was carried by the Spirit into the heavenly temple in order to receive from the Father the blessings of the new covenant and to bestow them on his church, to confer them to the church. He receives the blessings and he gives them as the mediator of the new covenant and our high priest. Now, that's the significance of him pronouncing a priestly benediction when he ascended into the heavenly temple. In the Old Testament, pronouncing a benediction was an activity assigned to the priest as they served in the earthly temple. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we saw that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons." Those were the priests who ministered in the earthly temple. "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" The benediction bestows blessings. Through the benediction pronounced by Aaron and his sons, God blessed his people. He blessed the Israelites. That is, God gave the Israelites the blessings of the covenant. God made them his covenant people. He entered into a covenant with them. He promised them covenant blessings. And through the benediction, he bestowed his blessings, the blessings of the covenant. The priest mediated those divine blessings by placing God's name on the Israelites when they pronounced the benediction. Now, in the Old Testament, that role of mediating covenant blessings through the benediction was assigned specifically to Aaron and his sons, the priests who served in the earthly temple. That's what Numbers 6 tells us. Now, that role would be permanently taken over by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the consummate and permanent priest of the new covenant. And in his gospel, Luke, the gospel writer, signals the transfer of that role from the sons of Aaron to Jesus Christ by contrasting what Christ does at the end of his gospel with what Zechariah the priest was unable to do at the beginning of his gospel. Now, what couldn't Zechariah do? He couldn't pronounce the benediction. And he couldn't pronounce the benediction because he couldn't speak. And he couldn't speak because he did not believe the words of the angel Gabriel, who told him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son. Now, if you go back to Luke's gospel in chapter 1, you'll see the story there that Gabriel, the angel from heaven, appeared to Zechariah while Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple of God. Zechariah was inside the temple at the altar of incense, and while the rest of the Israelites were praying outside the temple at the hour of incense, they were waiting there outside the temple for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary and pronounce the benediction. And they were wondering, what's taking so long? What's he doing in there? What's taking him so long? And when he finally came out, he couldn't talk. He was unable to speak. And he couldn't, therefore, pronounce the benediction. Now, at the end of the book of Luke, Christ does what Zechariah the priest was unable to do at the beginning of the book. He pronounces the benediction. The priestly role of pronouncing the benediction was transferred from the sons of Aaron to Jesus Christ. That's the significance of Luke 1 contrasted with Luke 24. Christ is the consummate and permanent high priest of the new covenant. The priesthood given to Aaron and his sons was temporary and provisional. It was not intended by God to be permanent. It anticipated and foreshadowed the permanent priesthood of Christ, but it was only temporary and provisional. Christ is the true and consummate and permanent priest who offers the perfect and final sacrifice to atone for all the sins of all God's people forever. The temporary priesthood of Aaron and his sons was only a type that foreshadowed the permanent priesthood of Christ. So Christ is the true priest, and their priesthood was modeled after his and prefigured his. And Christ, as the true priest, also gives the true benediction. So giving the benediction is a priestly activity. Christ, as the true priest, gives the true benediction. So the benediction of Aaron and his sons was modeled after his and prefigured his. In other words, when Aaron and his sons, as priests serving in the earthly temple, raised their hands and blessed the people of Israel, they were pre-enacting what Christ, the true priest, the ultimate priest, would do in the fullness of time. So Luke 24 is the true priestly benediction. The benediction of the Old Testament priests was patterned after it and pre-enacted it. Now, another thing we learn from Luke 24 is that Christ, the permanent ultimate priest, does not serve in an earthly temple. He serves, rather, in the heavenly temple. In Luke 1, Zechariah the priest entered the earthly temple. But in Luke 24, Christ, the true priest, enters the heavenly temple. When Christ pronounced the benediction, he was carried by the Spirit of God into the heavenly temple, where he serves forever as our permanent high priest in God's permanent heavenly home, his dwelling place. Luke 24, again, Jesus led his disciples out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So Christ is not an earthly priest, but a heavenly priest, and he serves not in an earthly temple, but the heavenly temple. And that, of course, is one of the main points of the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews repeats it several times. In chapter 8 of Hebrews, the author says, "Now the point in what we are saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tabernacle that the Lord set up." That's heaven itself. And again in chapter 9, the author of Hebrews says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not the one made with hands, not of this creation, Christ entered once and for all into the holy places in heaven, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." So the point here is that Christ is not an earthly priest serving in the earthly temple, but he's a heavenly priest serving in the heavenly temple. And what does his priestly ministry in heaven consist of? Well, as our high priest, he mediates the blessings of the covenant. That's what the priest does. The priest is the mediator of the benefits of the covenant. Christ, as our high priest, mediates the covenant blessings. He receives them from the Father and gives them to us. He receives from the Father and confers them to us. Now, that's the significance of Jesus pronouncing the priestly benediction while he was ascending into that heavenly temple. His benediction bestows blessings, the blessings of the covenant. And of course, the blessing of the covenant refers ultimately to the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will glorify us and translate us from earth to heaven, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The ultimate blessing of the new covenant is glorified eternal life in heaven with God, consummate communion and fellowship with God in the Father's house. That's the blessing that Christ himself, as our high priest, received from the Father, and that's the blessing that Christ gives to us. What he receives, he gives. He mediates that blessing. Now, ultimately, the benediction of Jesus in Luke 24 confers that blessing. It confers the blessing of glorified eternal life to the elect, glorified eternal life in heaven. Now, I want you to see that connection. What Jesus did in Luke 24, when he lifted his hands and blessed the disciples, ultimately that benediction confers to us glorified eternal life in heaven. Now, that blessing, of course, is not fully received by us until the end of the world, but we already have a down payment of it. We already have the first installment of it. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, which was given to the church on the day of Pentecost. Now, the end of the book of Luke is connected to the beginning of the book of Acts. Luke, of course, is the author of both. He wrote Luke and Acts. And the way Luke ends is connected to the way Acts begins. In Acts 1, Luke takes up the narrative where it was left off at the end of his gospel. Acts begins where Luke ends. It begins with the ascension of Jesus. The account of Jesus' ascension is actually repeated in Acts 1. It ends that way in Luke 24, and it's repeated in Acts 1. And why does Luke repeat that event? Well, the ascension of Jesus marks his transition from his earthly ministry to his heavenly ministry. In the book of Acts, Jesus continues his ministry from heaven. And what is the nature of his ministry? It is a priestly ministry in a heavenly temple. That's the significance of Jesus giving the benediction as he ascended into heaven. And what exactly does his priestly ministry consist of? Well, it consists of this: mediating the blessings of the covenant. As our priest, Christ receives from the Father and gives to his church the blessings of the covenant. And what covenant blessing does Christ bestow on the church in the book of Acts? The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. Before Jesus ascended, he instructed the disciples to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Father's promise. And so as Jesus departed from them and was being carried into heaven, he pronounced the benediction through which the blessing of the Spirit would be given to the church. And that blessing was conferred on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now when Christ, our priest, ascended into his heavenly temple, where he serves now as our priest, he received from the Father and gave something to the church. He received the Spirit from the Father and gave the Spirit to the church. That's how Peter explains it to the multitude of people who gathered when they heard the disciples speaking in tongues. Peter said to them, and this is from his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 32, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted," listen to how Peter puts it, "being exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Being exalted and having received, he gives. He receives the Spirit as our ascended high priest and pours out the Spirit. That's the blessing of the covenant. So Christ ascends to the heavenly temple, receives the promised Spirit from the Father, pours out that Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost as the down payment of our final full inheritance, glorified eternal life in heaven. And Christ as our priest in that heavenly sanctuary, therefore, is mediating those covenant blessings to us. There's an inseparable relation between the benediction of Jesus, his ascension, and the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost, and also our future glorification, our resurrection, glorification, and translation into heaven. Those things are organically and inseparably connected to each other. They are separated in time, but not ultimately separated because they're organically linked. Now, as I said earlier, the gift of the Spirit is a down payment. It's a first installment, a down payment of our full inheritance, guaranteeing the full inheritance, which we will receive at the end of the world. And that inheritance is eternal life and glorification in heaven. When Jesus returns at the end of the world, we will be resurrected from the dead in glory and power and honor and translated from earth to heaven, and we will then enjoy in all of its fullness the benefits that Christ bestowed on us when, in Luke 24, he pronounced the benediction. Everything that we receive from Christ, let me say it this way, every single benefit of salvation, every single benefit that we have in Christ, Christ bestowed on us when he pronounced that benediction in Luke 24. That's what he did by giving the benediction. That's why he gave the benediction in Luke 24 when he ascended into heaven. Now, we don't receive every benefit at the same time, but every benefit that we receive is a result of that benediction that he gave in Luke 24. That's the significance of it. Now, one more thing I want to point out here just in closing in the sermon today. I want to point out the connection between the benediction that Jesus gave in Luke 24 and the benediction that you hear every Sunday at the end of the service. Those things are connected too. At Providence, every service of worship that we have at Providence ends with a benediction. What is the significance of that benediction? Well, when a minister pronounces a benediction, he does so in the name of Christ and with the authority of Christ, having been called by Christ and commissioned and authorized by Christ to speak that benediction in his name. He gives the benediction in the name of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means when he speaks in the name of Christ, pronouncing the benediction, he is speaking as the representative voice of Christ. And when you hear that benediction, guess what? It is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear in the mouth of the minister. In other words, when you hear the minister say the benediction at the end of the service, what do you hear? You hear Christ himself doing what he did in Luke 24. Wouldn't you give anything to be there that day to see Christ raise his hands and give that benediction when he ascended into heaven? I'd give anything to be there that day. But the voice that the disciples heard on that day is what you hear. It's what we hear every time a minister says the benediction in the name of Christ. It is that benediction that you hear. You hear your great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, placing the name of his God on you and blessing you. And the benefits of the covenant of grace are thereby bestowed on you by Christ himself, the high priest and mediator of the new covenant, through that benediction. So that benediction should remind us of what Jesus did in Luke 24. It points back to what Luke did in 24, and also to the bestowal of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, which is the down payment of the blessings, the consummate blessing of glorified eternal life in heaven. But it should also point us forward to what Christ will do for us at the end of the world when Christ returns. What's he going to do? He's going to give us the fullness of our inheritance. He's going to glorify us. He will raise us from the dead in glory and power and honor. He will glorify us and translate us from the realm of earth to the realm of heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the benediction should remind us of those things. It points to those things. And it is, in fact, the means through which Christ communicates those things to his people as our great high priest. To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen.